Blog Talk Radio.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world, welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
Ontario country artist Jamie Warren joins me on the show today to talk about his music career, the stories behind some of his biggest hits, and his brand new album, Howl at the Moon. My pleasure to welcome Jamie Warren to the show. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself this evening?
I'm good. I'm in a very, I'll call it a cathartic mood. I do a cleanse every the first couple of months of every year, and it just seems to have moved over into my car, my basement, and my closet.
So what does that involve? A bit of cleaning out of each?
Yeah. It's just it's feeling good, and it could be also I'm just procrastinating. I am an Aries, so it could be just there's something I don't want to do, so I'm
right.
I'm attempting to clear something else instead of something internally. I don't know.
That's true. Sometimes we focus on the spring cleaning when we should be writing a song or something.
See, there. Okay, you had to break it, didn't you? I started writing last week. This is the time of year. I usually write the first 4 months of the year. And, I just started back to that. So,
is there something about this time of the year? Is there something about January to April or whatever?
You know what? And honestly, it's just practical. Normally, January and February are dead in our country in terms of, you never know what the weather's going to bring. There's not a lot going on, so I usually take January, February, and March and do my writing because it just makes more sense. And then I don't have to be on the road, dealing with the weather. The end of March is usually when I start touring again. So
that's pretty smart, getting when the weather starts to turn a little more more acceptable, right?
Yeah, and it's I like it actually. I'm accustomed to sort of being creative this time of year and. And that's what I do. I do the and I will write on and off as the year progresses with when I'm across the country with co-writers like Dwayne Steele is one, Jay Semko, Dwayne's in Red Deer and Jay's in Saskatoon. So, I'll deal with that when I can when I'm out there. But for the most part, I do the majority of my writing these first 3 months.
And you find you can focus it and get into that headspace of writing songs during this time, maybe, I guess, saving up that energy, that creativity, and really getting into it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's everybody's different. I'm going to start writing more songs for other people. I write with other artists for their projects and have always done that, and I'm doing more of that as well. But, yeah, it just seems to be... it takes me about a year to make a record, right from the writing of the songs through pre-production through the recording of the record. That whole process takes about a year for me. And so then you spend a year doing that, and then the record comes out in the spring of a year, and then, you spend the rest of that year basically presenting the record, having some fun, going and playing some shows, drinking some beer. And then you run through, do a Christmas tour and come back home, and then this is the time to sort of start looking at what the next record will be.
And you've got a brand new record out right now called Howl at the Moon. We're going to be sharing the title track, which is the brand new single off it. How does it feel to have this album done and sharing it out there with all your fans?
Well, it's good. I mean, the last two records have come fairly quickly in terms of they've been spaced 2 years apart, and that's pretty quick for me to come out with a new record every 2 years. And I may do the same thing again with the next record. And part of that is really coming to how comfortable I feel with my writing. And I think in the last two records, I won't ever use the term it's gotten easier, but I think it maybe is becoming a little more natural. And Right Here, Right Now, which was the record before this one, was a very personal record for me in terms of, dealing. I talked about my divorce and, and learning to have relationships again. And of the 12 songs on that record, 10 of them are autobiographical, and that's very rare for me as a writer to have that many. I mean, obviously, as a writer, you always pull from personal experience, but it's not always about you. You know, you're writing about other people, and quite frankly, it's way easier to write about other people's pain than it is your own.
Definitely, because it becomes vulnerable. You're not only while you're writing it, but when you go to share that song or those songs based on such a raw experience, raw emotion, you're really putting yourself out there.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I think that depending on, you're always trying to write an interesting story. You're always trying to tell an interesting story whenever you write a song, and whether it's a fun toe tapper or whether it's a really deep, dark, important story to tell. I mean, it runs from that left to that right, and so hopefully you're just writing a really good song. And then I think on that record Right Here Right Now was just sort of when I got closer to being authentic. I found myself maybe a little closer to what it is as an artist. And not that I've really ever strayed. I mean, I've always been, I think, who I am, which is not always mainstream country. Sometimes apparently I am. Which is fine, but it's just, I think the last couple of records might have been a little more singer-songwriter than...
Right, and which is a different kind of style, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I think I've kind of, I've found my rootsy roots, and that always existed for me, I've always been consistent in terms of style, but then also I get interested in other angles on it. And so I think that, and I don't know what my next record will be. And once I start writing it, then I'll find out. And that's, my writing usually takes me stylistically where it goes.
Now, when you're performing your songs, do you enjoy doing them in venues where you can, or situations where you can just sing acoustically, you and the guitar, and presenting the songs in that kind of stripped down fashion?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot more of that these days. And I've always enjoyed that. I've always done that, you know, even in high school, you know, the me and my guitar on stage.
Right.
I feel quite comfortable like that. And sometimes, too, the opportunity to play smaller crowds or in a soft seater, people are listening. And
yes.
Fun sort of arrangement when you're doing it as a trio or a duo. And also, I've got an amazing band, so it's fun to get out on stage and play with five other guys that are all great players. We've played together forever and ever. And there, you know, I've had a couple of moments, because I've been in this business, I guess, close to 30 years, and when we're playing songs, this has happened to me in the last couple of years, where I'll be with the band and I'll start listening to what we're doing. Sort of disconnecting in a good way, and I find myself going, wow, this sounds really cool, and I don't know if I can explain that without sounding egotistical, and I don't mean it that way. It just, I'm looking around the guys on the stage. We've been playing together, so Jason and I have been together for 18 years, and you just kind of go, wow, this sounds good, this is really cool, and then, you know, every once in a while I go, geez, I've had quite a few hits, this is kind of fun.
It's nice to be able to feel that, isn't it? And because it's the truth, but for you to appreciate it, because I guess oftentimes you can get so busy or forgetful of what you've accomplished. When you can actually stop for a moment and realize it, it's probably a pretty good feeling, no doubt.
Well, yeah, and that's where I was sharing with you is that sometimes, yeah, you're doing your shows. I mean, you always have a great time with the band and all that kind of stuff, but you're doing the best job to do a great show for the crowd and sing your songs, and I always enjoy doing that. But it's been in the last couple of years where I've had that moment to sort of take a breath and look around, you know, look around on stage and listen to actually what we're doing. And it's I guess that there's probably a melodramatic segue there in terms of my life in general, you know, in terms of looking at and appreciating what it is that I do and enjoying it. I mean, the last 4 or 5 years, I never disliked what I did. I don't want to present it that way, but I really like my job. I've got a pretty cool job.
And it's obviously a great outlet for those emotions, as you talk about things going on in your life. You can put them into your music and share them with others. And not only does it help you, but it's helping other people who've gone through those kind of things, hard times in life. They're being able to find comfort in those songs.
Sure. Yeah, I think that... you know, I can think of a couple of songs like, well, The Secret is one, in terms of dealing with domestic violence from the Fallen Angel record. And, you know, I mean, and those are the type of songs where people will come up and tell you that it made a difference. It convinced them to get out of a bad relationship or an abusive relationship. And those are the moments as a songwriter. You never lose. I mean, those are etched in stone. And you know, you realize that you did something right. And then again, I mean, I always like to include both sides. The other thing is sometimes you're just in a room with another guy and just making stuff up. You're just
right.
You're making a story up, and trying to tell the best story you can, and so that's it is all of the above. The answer sort of is always all of the above, and sometimes there's these manna poignant songs that drop in your lap, which are very, very rare, and the other ones that you go back and forth and back and forth for days upon days, and come up with. With something that may be considered a commercial hit, but doesn't have any depth to it.
Right.
But, you know, it's, and you know what? It's nice to have those because they pay for braces at the house.
That's so true. You gotta have a bit of both, right? You gotta have the money makers, the ones that are the toe tappers, the obvious hits, and then maybe somebody mm-hmm. buys the album and then they hear a song like The Secret or something that is, as you say, not as much commercial, but definitely appealing.
Yeah, I think so. You know, the older I get, I'm closer to, I'm going to celebrate my 50th birthday in April. And,
wow,
so
congratulations.
Big year for me. Yeah, thanks. And I'm looking forward to it. And I think that I'm getting, it's not that I'm maybe getting less interested in writing those toe tappers. And it's not so much that I'm interested in being dark and moody. It's just so much, it's more so I'm interested in what interests me.
Right.
And then I think sometimes, too, if you're authentic in that thought process, not to overuse that word in this interview, I think that people will appreciate that. I think that sometimes the industry in general, I mean, not just applying to country music, but has a tendency to pay way too much attention to what they think the audience wants and
right.
not enough attention to just delivering some interesting and good music. I think sometimes that they focus too much on what sells or what they think will sell as opposed to, you know, just delivering something that's good.
Because a lot of times hits will come from out of left field, not necessarily the typical commercial thing, because someone's allowed an artist to be themselves and to release something that isn't necessarily commercially appealing, but becomes that way.
Well,
hard
and
to tell sometimes.
You know, unfortunately, there's less of that these days. I agree with your statement, but there's less and less of that just
right.
because of the way the industry is working where, you know, we're selling all our records at Walmart, and I'm not picking at Walmart, but what happens at Walmart is that you have seven shelves, and when you go to an HMV, a music store, there's 30. So Walmart obviously is going to carry stuff that sells, all the stuff that
yep.
they know people will sell. And so then the opportunity to find unique music gets, you know, harder and harder. Where at, you know, when you and I grew up, album cuts were important. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Those, you know, it was about 12 songs or how many were on the record. And it
yeah.
wasn't always about the hits. It was about the cool songs. And so, unfortunately, that's lost a little bit. Yet, that said, I mean, I always laugh at the industry because most of the artists that are interesting or that create things that you could go back, like someone like Shania, they're aberrations. They're accidents. They're not really championed by the industry. They just, it's one of those things where, oh, well, let's see if it works. And it works huge. And it's,
yep.
and it starts a new trend or something different. But I wish there was more creative, you know, creative people within A&R and record companies. But there's
yeah, nothing. Definitely. Those,
and I'm
those
not picking
thoughts.
On the industry. I'm not saying something that hasn't been said before.
Exactly.
But, you know, I think that the Internet has made a big difference. As much as it's really hurt the industry, it's also leveled the playing field in terms of independent artists and the ability of people to find music. And so, I always believe that, you know, the glass, you know, I mean, the glass could be half empty, but I really think it's half full, but it's still the same amount of water. And I think that there will always be interesting, good music come from somewhere. There's just not as much coming from the norm, the mainstream. It's mostly
right.
independent working its way into the mainstream. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's a whole new ballgame. Keeps things interesting. Let's turn to your music now, Jamie. An earlier hit, which also appeared on your Greatest Hits CD, one of my favorites, and I know it's a favorite of a lot of people's, One Step Back. Tells a great story. It just kind of takes us back in time. I know when I listen to it, you kind of reflect on things. Can you talk about the writers on this and just a little story behind it?
Yeah, absolutely. I wrote this with Jason Berry. And Jason, I started this song, I brought it to Jason. I wanted to write a song about like a nostalgic look back at high school kind of thing is the evolution of the song. And now the interesting thing, Rudy, who found Jesus in the story, is Rudy Feitinger is his name, and he was my best friend in high school. And he did find Jesus, but he moved to Chicago. And try rhyming Chicago in a song. So that's why it's L.A.
right.
And Bobby was just sort of a composite of a couple of my friends. Now, the interesting thing is Mary was Mary Ann Grove, and she was a girlfriend of one of my best friends in high school as well, Sean Hopkins. And so Mary Ann and I used to, at parties, have these long, in-depth conversations, and it was totally unrequited. I mean, she was my buddy's girlfriend. I never, ever told her, like, I never made a move on her or anything like that, but I was totally in love with her.
Right.
I thought she was just absolutely wonderful. And so that just sort of came and went. And so when I went to write the song, it made sense to make that character Mary. And then I told her about the song after I wrote it, that it was about her, and she was living in Owen Sound at the time. I managed to track her down. But can I keep telling you more stories?
Yeah, I was just going to ask.
But that song,
here's
the funny thing.
Mary's bedroom window.
Here's the thing. So I wrote this song with Jason, and we brought it to the studio, and we were going to start demoing it. And I played it for Rick, my producer, and his partner Doug Biggs, and Lloyd Walker. Like, there's four or five guys, engineers around the studio, played this song, and I made the mistake of saying, okay, there's one line in the song that drives me a little crazy, and I is it weird? Do I sound like a peeping Tom? And it was Mary's bedroom window. And all of them went, oh, yeah, that's awful. You can't put that in a song. And I'm going, geez, okay, I better change it. Now, I'm not going to change the structure of the song because the song's done. So whatever lyric I come up with will have to fit into that same line, right?
Right.
So Jason and I, you know, batted it around for a couple months and couldn't come up with anything, to the point where I'm going, well, if somebody comes up with a better line, I'll give you a co-write. And then just through attrition, we just kind of went, I don't care, just leave it in. And so we did. Now, as you brought that line up, is that I've done shows for years with that song, and sometimes, you know, they don't know it's One Step Back, but they'll go, hey, buddy, can you play Mary's Bedroom Window? You know that song? I'm going, sure. And it's like, so I obviously should not have taken that out of the song, which I did not. So
yeah, that is definitely one of the lines that stands out for sure.
Mm-hmm. And it's...
In a nostalgic sense, it does work. It's got sort of an innocence to it, even though it could go another way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's what I meant. It, you know, that's where it came from was you know, a sweet, you know, the sweet side of looking back. But
definitely,
and it did. It definitely struck a chord. It was a huge hit here in Canada, and it is always played. It's my one song. I mean, there's a few songs of mine that are in recurrent and in gold rotation, but that's the one that is always played.
Well, let's share it now on the show. This is Jamie Warren and One Step Back.
If I could take one step back, I'd be slipping out the back door, and I'd take one more drive in my daddy's old car, and I'd take one last look through Mary's bedroom window. If I could take just one step back, driving down that old dirt road, feeling up and down. The summer sun reminds me of a childhood laid to rest. Driving past the riverbank, Mary first kissed me. Lilacs still grow wild and free. Bobby lets the blacktop down and his baby sailed him home. A lovely wife and three young kids and a fourth and almost grown. Rudy, he found Jesus and he moved out to L.A. Mary has a new last name. If I could take one step back, I'd be slipping out the back door and I'd take one more drive in my daddy's old car. And I'd take one last look through Mary's bedroom window. If I could take just one step back. Whistle at the factory no longer makes a sound. The roller rinks are milling all, the drive-in's been torn down. The courthouse is still standing, even though we marched and prayed. It's nice to know some things don't change. If I could take one step back, I'd be slipping out the back door. And I'd take one more drive in my daddy's old car. And I'd take one last look Mary's bedroom window. If I could take one step back. Life is like that old freight train. Tracks go on way out of town. But if you ride along enough, it'll bring you back around. If I could take one step back, I'd be slipping out the back door. And I'd take one more drive in my daddy's old car. And I'd take one last look through Mary's bedroom window. If I could take just one, I'd take one step back. I'd be slipping out the back door. And I'd take one more drive in my daddy's old car. I'd take one last look from Mary's bedroom window. If I could take just one step back.
One of his greatest songs, that is Jamie Warren and One Step Back here on In the Country. And you can visit Jamie at his website, jamiewarren.com. Lots of interesting information there. It's a great looking website, too. Really well designed, Jamie.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we try
yeah,
to
very
do,
impressive.
Every time we release a new CD, we try to update the website and redo it.
Oh,
and Marty did a real nice job.
Yeah, it looks terrific. Always nice to see a nice-looking website. It makes it easier and more pleasant to look around it. Howl at the Moon is a brand-new album. We're going to hear that title track, single release to radio. We're going to hear that a bit later in the show. I wanted to ask you about, I guess, your family, quite a musical family, as I read, a lot of singing at the Warren household and performing. And you started piano at age 5 and guitar at age 8.
Yeah, I had... I thought at the time at 5 that I was only supposed to take piano for 1 year, and I ended up taking it for 3 years. And so I've also got a fairly sports-oriented family, so I was kind of – I didn't play piano very much, meaning I didn't – let me rephrase that. I didn't practice very much past
right.
that first year. So I remember being called into the living room then, both my mom and dad, and then I was 8 then. And my folks said, well, look, you're not playing, you're not practicing, so we're just wasting money on these piano lessons, so we've decided that, you know, you don't have to take them anymore. And I'm thinking, yes, this is awesome. And I went, however, you will learn an instrument, so you need to pick another one. And I went, all right, guitar. And so then I took guitar for like 8 years. And I play piano, too, as a matter of fact, now. And I did for, well, I have for years. And so, you know, if my parents hadn't pushed me, I probably wouldn't have learned an instrument. And I would have just spent most of my time playing hockey and baseball, which I did anyway. But
hey, you were thinking about getting into the NHL professionally, or hoping to work towards that?
Oh, heck yeah! I mean, that's a dream of every kid. I think that I would never ever say that I could have. You know, I played a year of junior when I was 14, which is pretty young to play junior. It was junior C, but still at 14, that's pretty young. And I think that's sort of when I lost my. I continued to play, you know, midget for a couple of years. I played till I was 18, but it was different when I turned 14. I started writing songs. And I wasn't all that interested in dry land training and you know, focusing on being a better hockey player. I was a little more interested in girls and, you know, and playing songs and impressing them. And so that was when things really changed for me, you know, in terms of a sports career. And it takes a dedication in whatever you do, sports especially, and you know, in music. So I would never ever say to anyone that I could have been that. So I'll just leave it at that. And but you know, it was my folks made a huge difference, and we did a couple of shows together. I did, you know, I can remember playing in a smoke-filled basement, you know, when I'm 8, 9, and 10, playing songs to my
right.
Euchre Club, right, where they're all half snapped, all half snapped, and smoking their brains out downstairs. Cigarettes, that is. My parents.
Right. We'll emphasize that. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was the old day.
And
but it made a big difference. And you know, it's interesting. Both my kids are musical too, so it's Katie sang on a couple of shows with me, and she's a singer-songwriter. She's got a couple of cuts on a new girl's record that's going to come out within the next year. And and my son, he's 15, and he sings at coffee shop all the time, or coffee house, pardon me, at the high school.
Yeah. It must be great to see that passed on to them, and to see them start to get the love of music, and to, you know, start to show signs of doing well at it.
Yeah, I mean, Katie's a really interesting singer, and she's got a really interesting take on writing, and that, you know, I'm impressed with that. And she has an opportunity there as a singer-songwriter. And Josh isn't much of a writer yet. You know, he's just 15, but he's incredibly stubborn, which is fascinating to me in a good way. Meaning he doesn't play guitar, but he played guitar and sang at Coffee House. I showed him a G and a C. He learned a Justin Bieber's tune until his fingers bled. Took him 2 weeks, but learned it. And he did the same thing. He played piano at 4 months later. And he didn't know how to play piano, and he watched it on YouTube and you know, copied what the guy was doing and did a Headley tune, and it was cool. And he's very musical, and he's incredibly stubborn and dedicated. So I mean, if he wants to do something, he will, and I'm proud of him for that.
So what would be the best piece of advice you would give to your children and other teenagers around that age who are thinking about, you know, doing something with music, whether it's writing or getting on stage, becoming a performer? What are some of the skills or thinking they should have?
Well, I'd say quit right now, because I want to keep my job for a few more years. What I say is, you know, study it in terms of can you take, you know, music lessons, can you take vocal lessons, sing as often as you can, whether it's karaoke night, whether it's high school is awesome. Like these coffee houses, I'm really glad that the high schools are doing that. And join the theater club in high school, join the glee club, join the, you know, the choral group, whatever it is, you know, your opportunity to sing and get better at it. I mean, just
right.
The experience and practice is part of it. And the other thing too is that I think everybody should attempt writing. And some people will be more natural at it than others. And I do this in high schools too. I go in and I'll teach creative writing and teach creative thinking, you know, in terms of how to work your way through a process. I mean, there is a structure and a formula in terms of, you know, contemporary music. You know, verse, chorus, half verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, see you later.
Yep.
Sometimes the solo is a bridge. The bridge is a solo, but you know, that's your 3.5 minute song. Now, can you break with tradition? Absolutely, but you know, that's your creative form, and you should know that, and take it seriously. I mean, that's, you know, learn to write. I mean, that's another sort of rant that I get on. That's interesting. When I do it, especially in high school, I'll bring this up, but when I'm doing it in colleges too, in any other kind of creative writing, you go to school. Right, you go to university. You take English.
Yep.
You take
right.
literature. You learn. You study writers, and for some reason, songwriting is something that you somehow just are born with, and that's crap. It's just, it doesn't work that way. And those mana songs that everybody has, that one song that sold a million copies, right? Elton John has one. Every Billy Joel has one where they woke up in the middle
yep.
of the night and they wrote this song in 25 minutes. Well, that's one out of 700. But unfortunately,
that's right.
that's the one that is fun to talk about, that's an interesting story, and that perpetuates the myth. You know, nobody likes to hear about the 7-month song.
Exactly.
Or the song that took 3 years to finish. That story's not as exciting, but it happens.
Or even the bad ones. Even the bad ones, sure. You had to write to get to that good one.
Absolutely. And sometimes what I like to do, too, is you revisit a song that you didn't think turned out that well. It's like, well, maybe there's something in it that's worth saving. And then you rewrite it with somebody else. I've had a few songs like that that just kind of, you knew that they just weren't finished properly. And those are the 3, 4, 7 year songs. But anyway, that's all I would say to young people is just experience it. Get an opportunity to sing as often as you can. And see if you can write and get together with other people. Because there's mentors available along the way, you know, and high school is the obvious start, music teachers and all that kind of stuff. But you can find people that are willing to listen to your music or give you some input or suggest this guitar teacher or, you know, ask some questions. And the other thing, too, that I will say, and especially in high school, is that, and to parents, that you can make a living in the arts. You don't have to necessarily be, you know, on CMT or on Much More Music and having huge hits, which is nice and is available. But, you know, there are other avenues in terms of whether it's graphic arts right through to, you know, music and movies and television, whether it's a music teacher out of your own house. The same thing with dance. You can do cruise lines. I know lots of people. Like, what a great job to be 19, 20, 21, 22, you know, traveling the world in sort of a chorus line thing. There are opportunities. And especially, you know, on a practical note, when the world is getting, it's getting tougher to get the blue collar jobs that are guaranteed, you know, with the high wage, hourly wage.
Yeah.
And I think that we should also be, you know, teaching our young kids to be prepared to be self-employed. And that's, you know, to be in a contractual circumstance, whether it's, you know, through the arts or, you know, starting their own business. And I think that, and the arts, for the most part, obviously, is being self-employed. But, you know, I love the arts, and I think that you know, more people could be having a living. It's not all, you know, living out of your suitcase, or that's not really true. It's not all about, like, living on $8,000 a year. You know, there's ways of getting
there's ways to do it. Yeah.
You know, laughing at me because I have a radio background, right? So, you know, that's what you work for.
You can only go up from there.
Time. Yeah, I know.
So you can only go up financially from there. You can't go much further down.
Yeah,
especially
exactly.
The small town radio, right?
Right. Well, I mean, you know, yeah, unless you're the general manager or sales manager or the morning guy.
That's right. That's where the money is.
Yeah.
Let's turn to just time-wise here. I could talk about that a lot longer, but we're going to turn to the new single, Howl at the Moon, which has been released to radio, so our listeners can request it.
Yes, just about to be released, yeah.
Oh, just about to be released. So tell us a bit about the song, Jamie, and then we'll share it with everyone.
Yeah, it's a song I wrote with Thomas Wade, and we usually write at least 3 songs a record. I've known Thomas for over 20 years, and it's the title cut. Howl at the Moon is a term that I've used for a long time, and it really isn't. We used it differently in the song, but we use it as the hook line, and I reference it as every once in a while I'll just get silly in terms of, you know, have too many beers, and I refer to that as howling at the moon every once in a while. And it's just about me. It's just about, sometimes it's whether you feel sorry for yourself or you feel happy about yourself. Whatever it is, it's just you howling at the moon. And so this term I've used for years, and then I thought, well, that would be a really cool, you know, hook for this song. And it's just really a nostalgic look back at, again, people my age, and slightly younger, keeping a marriage together, to just think back and let's be young again. I mean, that's pretty simple, but that's what the song is about, is that, you know, let's turn back time and just be silly again.
Awesome. This is Jamie Warren and the brand new single about to be released to radio. It's called Howl at the Moon here on In the Country.
And a little
Brand new music from Jamie Warren here on In the Country. The song is called Howl at the Moon. It's also the title of his brand new CD. And you can learn a lot more about Jamie at his website, jamiewarren.com. Jamie, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show. I could talk to you for a lot longer, but we've got about a minute left. Thank you so much.
Okay. Oh, you're welcome. It was fun.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. We'll have to do this again sometime. All the best with the CD, the single, and, of course, all the new writing you're doing.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, yeah, I mean, and hopefully I'll be up your way in the not too distant future.
Yeah. Awesome. We'll look forward to that. Thanks again, Jamie, and have yourself a great night.
Thank you. You too.
My guest today has been country artist Jamie Warren. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.
Spend some time in the country, we're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country, leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone, the best in music too. Spend some time in the country, we've been waiting here for you. Here in the country.